Godly or God toward mothers are a blessing. This day, historically, has been one of the highest church-going turnouts because of Mother's Day, and usually the request, at least the request by godly mothers, is that their children attend church services with them, and that's a good thing, and I think that's probably right that they do that, and really leads to the thought of godly meaning God toward, and that's really the definition of godly. It's not God-like, but it's God toward. Just a very brief background of this particular day that is a national holiday. When you look at the origin, in 1907, a lady by the name of Anna Jarvis from Philadelphia began a campaign 2 years after her own mother had died. And in 1910, West Virginia was the first state to recognize Mother's Day. And then a year later, every state officially marked that day. And then in 1914, President Woodrow Wilson officially proclaimed Mother's Day as national holiday for the second Sunday of each May. The thought behind this, as Miss Jarvis said, was it was not to celebrate all mothers. It was to celebrate the best mother you've ever known, your own mother, as a son or a daughter. That's why Jarvis stressed then the singular Mother's Day, that is apostrophe est, rather than the plural Mother's Day at the end of the word. There's a little negative that does go along with this particular story. I'll just point it out to you because it really leads into our lesson, which is not a negative lesson. But it does lead into it, I think, properly. Whenever you look at this history also, it was a day that was of a forgotten purpose as far as Miss Jarvis was concerned. Jarvis's accomplishments soon became bitter disappointment to her. The reason being is that, as it is with most holidays that are set up by man, it is commercialized. And you see that, of course, with Easter, Christmas, and so forth. It's commercialized. She filed a lawsuit to stop Mother's Day celebration in 1923 that she had fought so hard to get started. She was arrested for disturbing the peace at a mother's convention that was taking place where white carnations were being sold to raise money. Her complaint was, "I wanted this day to be a day of sentiment and not a profit." And again, that's what men usually do with things such as this. And that's unfortunate. That really leads into our lesson this morning, that godly mothers must be remembered. And let me just say a little bit of something about this when we think about the word remember. You know, we all use that term, and we use it in context such as, well, I remember when. And it's something that comes to our mind on particular occasions, something spurring a memory that took place that we refer back to based upon some of the criteria that are going on round about us that we then have a memory of to go back to a certain event that takes place in life or in family and so forth. And that's not the thought when you really look at it. Even whenever you look at the words, whether they be Hebrew or Greek, in the Bible, we have the words remember. Ecclesiastes 12 chapter verse 1, remember thy creator in the days of thy youth. It's not about from time to time as you're spurred based upon the catalyst that is round about you to remember God at that point in time. What Solomon is actually saying by using the word remember, and really the way that I'm talking about this morning and remembering mothers, is from the standpoint of never forget. In other words, be mindful of, continually before us. And that certainly is true with what Solomon is saying there in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1, to the young people, be continually mindful of God, of the Creator. And really, we should remember mothers. It's not about one day. And you know, there are so many that think that they can check the box, right? Mom's been remembered because I came and saw her, or I thought about her on Mother's Day. I made that call. I made that call. I sent that card. I bought that flower. Mother's not remembered that way. That's just a day. Godly mothers are to be mindful in our minds at all times. And I'll just speak a little bit personally right here. My mother died when I was 13 years old. I did not know her well at all. She spent the majority of her life in the hospital. She had MS. And so I didn't know her well at all. I know this, that I was brought into this world being breech. And so I even received a transfusion at birth because of all the loss of blood. It was a horrific labor that she went through. And what I do remember very vaguely about her is that she loved me very much. I can just tell you, by bringing forth breech birth at that time, 1953, that was a while back, it was painstaking. And I know that she cared very much for me, even though I don't remember her well at all. And I'm mindful of that day in and day out. What I've learned most about mothers really is in connection with the lady that I'm married to and the way that she has conducted herself and been the type of mother that she has been. I don't mean to embarrass her. I do mean to honor her, as all godly mothers, God-toward mothers, should be honored. And I learned what mothers are, not only from her, but from many of you in this congregation that are mothers. I look and I see the concern, and I see all the things that we're going to be talking about this morning as we look back at the godly mothers, the God-toward mothers that we have in Scripture. And you know, I did some teaching for a period of time in a nursing home. And I would talk about mothers and fathers from time to time, even in nursing homes. And there would be those that were, as a matter of fact, one lady was 104 years old that attended my class faithfully. She was there every time that I came, she was there. And even those at that advanced age, such as that, whenever you would talk about mothers especially, you could see tears come to their eyes because there was a remembrance. I believe they were mindful of their mothers even at that point. We have to have mothers for our existence, but they're more than that. They're more than that. And I think that's what the Scriptures point out to us concerning mothers. Godly mothers, God-toward mothers, we must be mindful of them. And we have remembrance of them in Scripture, and we see the attributes of these godly mothers, those that are truly God-toward in Scripture. And we look back to Jochebed in Exodus, the second chapter, verses 1 through 3, Jochebed being the mother of Moses. Edict had come down from Pharaoh that all male children of the Jews should be destroyed. And that was fear of the Jews taking over the country of Egypt. And so this Pharaoh set forth this edict that all the male children, whenever they were born, should be killed. And what Jochebed did is that she took chance, and it really, as it turned out, wasn't chance, and it was by the providence of God, but she took chance against a surety. The surety was is that the child would die. She took a chance that the child may not die, and putting that child in an ark made of straw and sending it down the river. And where, of course, it was found by Pharaoh's daughter. And inside that was the lawgiver, the mediator of the Mosaic law, Moses himself. When we look back at the example that Jochebed has set, we see this in godly mothers, and that is protection. And protection even at the point of self-sacrifice. Because don't think for a moment that putting that child in that ark, that she just washed her hands and said, "Boy, I don't have to care for that child anymore." That wasn't the thought. But rather that life could continue in that child and that child have a chance to grow up and to be something and somebody. She gave of herself and gave up of herself in sending that child in the bulrushes down through the waters, a chance that that child would live. Protection was there. That was her mind. That was her mindset. Death was a surety. It was a sure thing. But protection was there of that child. And you see that. You see that not only in human mothers. And I will tell you, there is not any person more fierce than a human mother that is protecting their child. And it's true with all mothers. And especially with godly mothers. the protection is there, and we see that with godly mothers. And I'm sure that we can think back in situations in our life and growing up in which there was protection there. I remember, even though one was not a mother to a child, protection was still the main concern. We lived in a place where there were some children that lived across the road that weren't very ruly. And one of them, long about 3 years old or so, ran out into the road. And Catherine saw that and jumped up and ran out there and grabbed that child out of the street, took it over on their side of the street, and spanked that child to give that child a lesson. That was because of protection. And I think that's a good example of what mothers do. And hopefully that mother learned a lesson. I don't know whatever happened after that. I know they didn't lock Catherine up. That's a good thing. But it was because of protection that she did that. And so we see that as an attribute of a God-toward mother. That protection that there is, they brought this life into the world. And this life is going to be protected even at the giving of themselves. But we also see commitment in the life of godly mothers. And we have that with Hannah. Hannah who was barren. Hannah who was going through such a hard time with this, because especially at that time, and it still is true today, those that cannot have children, many times they want children. Not all, but most do. And they want children. And she even had an antagonist that was another wife of her husband, which, by the way, we're not to have today. We're not to have that situation. But she was an antagonist, and she would gloat over the fact that she had children and Hannah did not. And Hannah was so disturbed at this and so wanting a child that she made a commitment to God. Lord, you give me a man child. And what I will do is I will commit him to your service for all of his life. I will do that. Open my womb up for this. And Lord, I will make this promise to you. He will be your servant. I will make sure of that. And she makes commitment to that. And the Lord blessed her, and the womb was opened. And of course, we know it was Samuel that was the child that was born unto her. And she kept her word. Not only was there commitment, there was also truth involved in this attribute that we see in this godly woman. Because as soon as the child was weaned, she took that child to Eli the high priest and said, "This child has been consecrated to the Lord, and he will be staying with you and serving the Lord for the rest of his life." Now every year he'd be brought a new coat that she would prepare for him, because she of course loved that child. The rest of the story was is that Hannah of course was greatly blessed in doing this because of the commitment that she made. And godly mothers, I believe, are blessed because her womb was opened up even more even after the birth of Samuel, and she had other children. But what she did, she made commitment. She made commitment. And godly mothers do that. Godly mothers make sure that they understand that children are a gift that are given to us by God. They're not our own, but they are God's and given to us to raise for the Lord. And godly mothers will have an influence in the teaching of those children. Godly mothers will have an influence on getting them to services and getting them to their Bible classes and so forth. And they'll make sure that commitment is carried forth. They understand that, yes, the father is the head of the household, Ephesians 6, chapter and verse 4, but she also has a play in this. She has a part in it, where the child is to be brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and she understands, a godly mother understands that responsibility. And she makes commitment to it, just as Hannah did. And godly mothers will do that. Godly mothers are like the widow of Zarephath, or Sarepta, as it states in Luke the 4th chapter, verse 26. Elisha was a prophet at the time, and you remember earlier that it was by God's will that there would not be any rain, and that there would be a famine. And that famine took place for quite some period of time. And this famine took place again here in 1 Kings, the 17th chapter. And there was a famine throughout the land. And God told Elisha, go to this widow in Sarepta and there you will be taken care of, because he was about to famish. And he goes to this widow who had one son, who had very few provisions, just very meager existence at this time. And Elisha said, "Give me to eat." And she says, "Well, this is all I have. We'll do that." And because of her obedience, that which she was taking from her own and even out of the mouth of her own child at that time was replenished by the Lord miraculously until that famine ceased. And we see then this attribute of obedience in this woman, where she understood that following the will of God, following God's word, is primary in one's life. Even to the point of taking the last that they have and giving to someone that is a prophet of God. She was blessed in that, and it came about by obedience. She understands, as all godly mothers understand, that obedience to God is primary. It is primary. And what goes along with that is really faith, and we'll talk more about that with another lady in just a moment. But faith is involved in that, because that obedience and that faith that is shown understands where the power lies, and that lies with God. And God will care for his own. Godly mothers are obedient to God's word. They're obedient to the point that they understand that even if their children are not doing right, they try to correct that. They try to bring the word of God to those that are their children. They're not living the way that they should. And they warn them and they plead with them because they understand that obedience unto God is primary. We also have Chloe. As mentioned in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, verses 11 through 13, it's the house of Chloe. And you know, there at Corinth, they were involved in a lot of divisions. Some were saying, "I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I am of Cephas, and I have Christ." And Paul makes comment to the fact that it had been reported unto him by those of the house of Chloe. Whether she did the reporting or not, or some of the men of the house of Chloe, the point is this: it was evidently by her leadership, care, and concern for defense of the truth that they learned, at least, to contact Paul on this matter to get it straightened out there in Corinth. It shows a godly woman in the instruction of her family that understood that the truth needs to be defended. That understood that even though there are things that are taking place in a congregation, just to set back, and if it is not scriptural, just to set back and let it go on without it being addressed is not proper and it's not correct. It's not pleasing to the Lord. And so it was brought forth by those of the house of Chloe that there were divisions that were among them and that they ought not to be. And Paul, I believe, as you look through that book and the teaching that he gave, and also I think over as you look over in the second book that he gave, 2 Corinthians, that you see that he addressed those things and there was correction. Where silence may have left that to go on and to fester and to grow and a whole congregation of people be lost. And so here you have this woman that was a defender of the truth. And godly mothers are defenders of the truth. They're defenders of the truth. Then you have Lois and Eunice. They were influencers of righteousness. And I include here both of them. And so you're talking about a grandmother and a mother. And we have some that are both here in this congregation. And Lord willing, those that are just mothers will become grandmothers at some point in time. Your job is not finished just with your own children. And that scene with Lois and Eunice, it doesn't end there. Your job is also with your grandchildren, as times come on, to be influencers of righteousness, to teach God's will, to instill in them the things that would lead to salvation. And Paul makes comment to Timothy later on, "For ever since you were little, you have understood through God's word the words of life, the words of salvation." And he lets him know that. And reason being is because of the influencers in his life. Lois and Eunice, both the mother and the grandmother. So it doesn't stop with just being a mother. It continues on. And there are so many today that need to be influenced by God's word and influenced by women that look to seek God and to please God. And that needs to be there. And it's seen in God toward mothers. And then you may disagree with me on this, but I believe that 2 John verses 1 through 6 is not talking about a congregation. I'll just briefly explain why. Whenever you look at 2 John, beginning in verse 1, the elder unto the elect lady and her children, the church does not have children. We are children of God. And then, as you look on down in verse 14, he talks about the elect sister. Verse 13, rather, the children of thy elect sister greet thee. And I will tell you that I believe that Jesus is the bride of one, not of many. Be that as it may, at least take it from the standpoint here that you have faithfulness that is being taught. And it says, beginning in verse 4 of 2 John, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth as we have received a commandment from the Father. Now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is the love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. Here you have John addressing this individual and talking about the faithfulness that they have, because it is seen in her children also. It's seen in their children. Faithfulness is stressed. Faithfulness is not just believing that God exists, but rather living the type of life to show forth the good works concerning God that He's given us to do, to prove then that God is in our life and that God is. But also from the standpoint that we believe what God has to say. And this is being stressed by this godly woman. And she makes that point to her family by the words that John says here in 2 John. The elect lady, there was faithfulness. And godly women will stress faithfulness in the lives of their children. You have to believe God. And without believing God, there is no faith. You see, godly mothers are a blessing. Turn with me over to Proverbs, the 31st chapter. Proverbs 31, and there are many that look at this whole listing concerning the description of a virtuous woman, a God-toward woman, a godly woman. And they say there's no woman on the face of the earth that could do all the things that this woman does and ever get an ounce of sleep at any point in time. And so they reason out that this is just a ridiculous set of attributes that are given here as far as one woman carrying out. But I don't believe that it is. I don't believe it is. It has to do with her care and concern. And I believe it is exemplified by Solomon in these words concerning the virtuous woman, beginning in verse 27. She looks well to the ways of her household and eats not the bread of idleness. And godly women are like that. She makes sure that the family is cared for and there's really not idle time that is there. And I see that in God toward mothers. I see where there's not the idleness, but rather they're always busy making sure that those of their household are cared for. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Just a little bit to the fathers here today, the men of the households. Praise your wife. She's a godly woman. You praise her. You praise her because of all of these attributes that you see in her. And your children, your mothers, you need to praise her. You need to thank her for what you do, each and every one of you, because she cares for you so much. And she's trying to raise you the way that the Lord would have you to be. And she loves you and she loves your soul. And you need to praise her in that. Verse 29, many daughters have done virtuously, but you excel them all. Favor is deceitful, Beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. There are many that have that outward beauty that really ends up meaning nothing whatsoever because they're not godly mothers. But those with the inward beauty that comes from obedience unto God, comes from faithfulness, comes from defending the truth, comes from obedience, commitment, and protection of the family, both physically and spiritually, those are women of true beauty. Those are the ones that must be praised, and we need to praise them. Here's the thoughts in closing this lesson this morning. Have we listened to and honored our God-toward mothers, our godly mothers? Have we listened to them? Mothers, I'm sure that if you are God-toward, that you have mentioned any shortcomings that may be in some of your children's life. You mention that to them because you're worried and you're concerned about them. It may be even in connection with those things that are physical in nature, but the way that they're taking care of their finances and so forth. You may mention that to them, but most especially, if it's in connection with that which is spiritual, your children need to hear it from you. If there's something that's lacking in their life, your children need to hear it from you because they listen to you. They look to you. Be that godly mother. And those of us that have mothers, those of you that have mothers that are still alive, are you listening to them? Are you listening to them? Or is it that there is, you've come to a point of rejection where they're not listened to anymore? If they're a God-toward woman, a God-toward mother, they're trying to teach you the truth. But here's the most important thing. Have we listened to and honored the Lord? There may be those here this morning that are not members of the body of Christ, that have not been baptized for the remission of your sins. That means that you may have listened to the Lord, but you're holding back, not doing anything as far as obedience. And that obedience surely has been stressed by your godly mother, that obedience unto God is primary. And making that commitment unto God is primary. And that is why the Lord says that we must confess Him. Just as the Ethiopian nobleman did in Acts 8 chapter and verse 37. We name His name. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Your mother wants you to make that commitment. God especially wants you to make that commitment. God wants you to turn away from living the type of life that you're living if you're not a child of God. That's the repentance. Jesus said concerning that in Luke the 13th chapter, verses 3 and 5, I tell you nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And that repentance then really relates back to commitment also, because it says, I'll no longer serve myself, do what I want to do, but I recognize that the best for me and the best for my family and the best for those round about me is that I serve God and I show forth in my life what it is to be a Christian. And then to be baptized for the remission of your sins, that goes back to the obedience, that rendering of obedience, that which your godly mothers have taught you. Obedience unto God, that which God calls for, that which we must honor and listen at His urging, that we repent and be baptized for the remission of our sins. And in doing that, He will add us then to His saved body. Acts 2 and verse 47. Have we listened to God? Have we honored what He has to say? Maybe there are those here that have already done that. They've become a Christian, but they've forgotten about living the Christian life. Maybe they remember from time to time, but it's not mindful. It's not continually before them in living that Christian life. You need to repent of your sins. And if you need the prayers of the saints, we're here to pray with you and for you so that we are all mindful of serving God the way that we should. This day is set aside by the United States of America to honor mothers. Every day of the life of our mothers is set aside by God to honor them. Proverbs, the 31st chapter. Every day, every moment, every second is set aside for us to honor our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Have we done this? If there are those that we can help in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and sing. There is a fountain filled.